2 of that 590 show coming at you live right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger, Matt Rocchio alongside John Giamatti Rudolph behind the dials. Tuesdays at 7 o'clock, you know that's when we check in with our good friend Howard Balzer from BalzerFootball.com. You can also hear him on the Hall of Fame show on the NFL channel on Sirius XM. And, of course, follow him on Twitter at HBalzer721. Howard, how are you?
I'm doing great. I am doing great. And I, you know, something came to me yesterday, I think it was yesterday, that I forgot to ask you last week when I came on if you had done your homework.
I did do my homework. Giamatti witnessed it. I did do my homework. I did listen to that song. I liked it, but I mean, there's no bad Frank Sinatra song. I don't think anybody's.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's listened to a Frank Sinatra song and went, man, that sucked.
It was just one of those songs, I think, that, you know, especially for those who haven't heard, and it came out in somewhere in the 70s, I think it was.
73,
and,
I think.
Yeah, and it was just such a wistful song about what, you know, baseball, you know, once was, which is, of course, reflected in the title. There used to be a ballpark. And as I mentioned when we talked about it on the air, we have gone back somewhat to those. Now, granted, there, you know, it's not the same as, of course, we still have Fenway Park, we still have Wrigley Field, and it's not the same as some of the other ones these days, but at least they're now more, they are more ballparks than they were for quite a long time. So for those who haven't heard it, I just suggest listen to that song and really takes you back, especially when you're an old man like me.
Come on, now, you're only as old as you feel, right?
Well, yeah, I don't feel old, but whenever I look at that age and I get a birthday coming up next month when I actually hit my full retirement age for Social Security, that's when you start saying, oh, my goodness, how did this happen?
Where did the time go?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what, I'll give you your choice. Do you want to laugh at the Rams now or do you want to laugh at the Rams later?
Whenever you want. I mean, we can laugh at the Rams anytime, obviously.
That's true.
Your choice, whenever you want to bring it up.
You know what? Let's just go ahead and laugh at the Rams now.
Okay.
They decided that in the interest of the fan experience at the L.A. Coliseum, they are not going to sell the normal 90,000 or 100,000 tickets as if they could. They're going to only sell anywhere between 70,000 and 80,000. I guess it depends on the opponent. And the thing I don't understand, Howard, now, I'm friends with a lot of L.A. Rams fans on Twitter who went to a lot of those games, and I saw their tweets, and what they were complaining about are some of the same things that the Rams mentioned, talking about being having difficulty getting through the gate and, you know, long lines at the restrooms and long lines at the concession stands. The thing that I don't understand is that how does USC have all those Saturday night games when they pack that place, and I don't hear about those same issues?
Exactly. It's a great point. And you know what it's almost like? It's almost like, did anybody complain about the Dome in 99, in 2000, in 2001, when that place was rocking and you couldn't hear yourself talk and other teams hated coming in there to play games? No one said a word about the sound system or this or that. When they started losing and it wasn't very entertaining, all of a sudden all those other things became issues. So I'm sure whilst a certain amount of that was the case, people don't care if you're winning games. And for the most part, I mean, heck, when you watch those games and that place was filled, it looked kind of cool from just a football standpoint.
I agree.
So to come out now and say, well, we listened to our fans and so we're not going to sell, you know, more tickets. Let's be honest. The reality is that they weren't going to sell those tickets this year anyway. And so this year, when they don't sell them, they can say, well, that's because we capped it. That's because that's all we were going to sell. And so because there weren't going to be the crowds this year that there were last year when it was a novelty and it was the first time out of the box. And maybe there would be some of those crowds, obviously, if the Rams had, you know, won 9 games or 10 games or something. But when you perform the way they do, then all of a sudden you're going to have people saying, no, why should I go? You know, I'll wait. You know, we'll, you know, maybe we'll go to a game, maybe we'll go here or there, and if they start winning some games, maybe we'll go to some. But I'm sure that was the biggest issue of all, and they can couch it into listening to our fans.
Our friend Vinny Bonsignor was on the morning after this morning, and they were asking him about it. And he even admitted that the organization has said that their return purchase of season tickets wasn't as high as it was last year. So that's, you know, they've kind of admitted that as well too, that, you know what, we got to get better on the field if we're going to sell more tickets. And how crazy now do the San Diego Chargers look for playing in a smaller stadium over the StubHub in Carson that only holds like 30,000 people? But if that Chargers team is good and it's entertaining, that 30,000 is going to move a lot of money because there's going to be some high demand for it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you know, they charged a pretty penny for those tickets because they didn't have as many seats. And of course, it is a state of the art stadium with all the bells and whistles and technology and all that. It's just a small stadium, obviously, because mostly they play soccer there. But it's probably going to be a very intimate and a very good experience for fans. And like you said, if they start winning some games, and that's, you know, one thing about the Chargers, at least, even though they didn't win many games last year, but they had a lot of close games, and they have Phillip Rivers, and they have an offense that at least moves the football and is exciting. And they lost a bunch of bizarre games last year in strange fashion. But you look at that roster, and if they can stay healthy, which has certainly been an issue for them, then they've got a chance of being pretty good football team, and they could end up being, I'm not going to say the toast of the town by any stretch. But if they are winning, then they're going to get, I would think, you know, a lot of notice, and people will be talking about what a great atmosphere it is at their games, even with basically half or less than half of what a normal NFL game would get.
It was towards the end of last week that Oakland Raiders quarterback Derek Carr signed a 5-year, $125 million contract, and right now he is currently the highest paid quarterback in the NFL, but everybody knows it's going to change. I think they're already talking about Detroit making Matthew Stafford a $30 million a year quarterback. Right now, yeah, that $25 million may seem like a lot for a third-year QB, but it's going to look like a bargain in a few years, though.
No question about it. And, you know, it's funny you bring him up because I did a national interview on a national network a day or so after he signed, and I just love the – sometimes I just love and chuckle at the talking points that some of these hosts, you know, try to pass along because they just wanted to say something different. And so he said to me, boy, how can you give that much money to a guy who hasn't won a playoff game? And so my answer basically was, well, first of all, they might have won a playoff game if Derek Carr hadn't got hurt.
I think they would
have last season. But the reality is those things to a degree don't really matter when you have your quarterback and he is obviously a hell of a player. And he's young, obviously, like Derek Carr is, and entering the last year of his contract. That when you have all those things and you have the guy that you can build around and hopefully play for the next decade, then you're going to do all what you can to hang on to him. Because if you don't sign him, and you can do, let him go, and then who's your next quarterback? There's no guarantee you're ever going to get the guy that's just as good or better than him. And so that's what it comes down to. All the things that people talk about don't really matter. It's what that player, his value is to the team that he is on. And, you know, you can in some ways say the same thing about Matthew Stafford. I mean, they haven't won too many playoffs. I don't know if they've won a playoff game. They've been in some, but they haven't won.
No,
but
they
obviously
haven't.
There's more reason than just him. And that's what just, you know, whizzes me off a lot too, is that the discussion on these guys comes down to, well, how have they won? You know, how many have they won? As if the quarterback can do it by himself alone. I mean, look at Drew Brees. I mean, here's one of the great passers ever, a guy who just routinely now, with not great receivers on his team a lot of times, but routinely passes for 5,000 yards. And I know a certain amount of that because they throw it so much, but he still completes close to 70% of his passes and throws for 5,000 yards. And what have the Saints done as a team the last 3 years?
Not made the playoffs.
Yeah, they've won 7 games.
Yeah,
but yet I haven't heard anybody say, "Boy, that Drew Brees, he's not very good because they're not winning." Because they have won in the past, but still, you know, 2 Super Bowls in his entire time there, and they won one. So, it's just one of those things that I think sometimes the analysis gets into areas that it probably shouldn't. But you know, like you said with Derek Carr, I mean, this guy, all he has done is gotten better and better and better each year. and let me say and acknowledge, as the talent around him has got better. So you still need that if you're going to win games. But he has shown that he can lead that talent and take advantage of it and do some tremendous things. And, you know, that's a team won 12 regular season games last year, and they're on that track, right? You know, I think, guys, a lot of people say, what team can challenge New England in the NFC, or what teams? And I think it's very few. I think it's probably Pittsburgh or Oakland that are probably the two best bets. And I'm not sure there's very many, if any, after that, really have what it takes to knock off New England.
Maybe Baltimore, if they can get their team together, like their defense a little bit better and their offense going. Because it seems like – I don't think Tom Brady has lost to this current Pittsburgh Steelers team under Mike Tomlin. It seems like he beats them every single year. So I would almost say that Oakland maybe has a better chance. And last year, think about in the playoffs, the Houston Texans, had they had a better quarterback than Brock Osweiler, they probably would have knocked off New England in that playoff game up in Foxborough.
Yeah, they very well might have. And that doesn't mean that on a given day that another team could knock off the Patriots. I mean, heck, a couple years ago when the Chiefs played them in the postseason, and as I recall, Jeremy Maclin tried to play in that game, but maybe didn't play much because he had an injury, and they hung in with him, and certainly weren't embarrassed. And I think they might have lost by 3 or 6 points or something like that, so they were right there with him too. But you know, you still have to have all those things working for you. It doesn't matter if you're close, you got to find that way to knock them off. And boy, not many times does that happen in New England once they get to that postseason.
And we have someone texting in saying the Tennessee Titans as well. I think they're an up-and-coming team as well. Marcus Mariota.
Oh, they definitely are.
Mariota is a much better NFL quarterback than I thought he was going to be. He has been really good.
No, I agree, and I think they're the team to beat in that division.
Absolutely.
I didn't bring them up because I'm not sure that they would have what it takes to knock off a New England or really, you know, win a couple playoff games. But again, you never know. Everything goes right. You know, they've added some good receivers. You know, they have DeMarco Murray at running back, a really good offensive line. And so that is there's no doubt that's an up-and-coming team. And they won 9 games last season. So do they have enough in the postseason? Hard to say right now when they haven't been there. But I think in time they definitely will be.
Let's go back to Derek Carr. If I were to tell you, Howard, that you have to give a 5-year contract to a current starting NFL quarterback, in the NFL, you have to give them 5 years. They have to play all 5 years. How far down before we get to Derek Carr? Because I'm telling you, it'd be Aaron Rodgers, probably Andrew Luck, and then probably Derek Carr. I think I'd probably go almost in that order.
No, yeah, I think you're right. And remember, you know, let's remember this: Derek Carr's only entering his 4th year. You know, you mentioned Rodgers, and you might give him a 5-year contract to be able to spread out signing bonus and all that, but by the end of that, he's going to – how old is he? I'm not sure if he's 33 or 34 now. So by the end of that contract, he's going to be up there. And so, you know, who knows? But in that younger group of guys, certainly Carr, is in there. And then probably in a year or two, it's going to be that for Jameis Winston, and very well could be for Mariota as well. And so, with that up-and-coming, so to speak, younger group of guys that there's a few of them, but there aren't that many of them. It's really interesting, the league now, and with the number of guys in the Rodgers group. I remember we talked about that at the draft when we were talking about which one of these teams are going to start drafting that next quarterback with the ones that have the older ones, whether it is New Orleans, whether it is the Giants. Kansas City did it, with Mahomes. I'm sure, and New England, of course, they have Garoppolo, but who knows how that's going to play out with Brady and that situation. So you do have a bunch of those quarterbacks and Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, and so it's an interesting with that those guys, and then the up and comers. You're going to have those decisions in a few years, and some of those guys who have really started playing well are going to be getting those 5-year contracts or even longer as well when their options, like when Mariota and Winston's options come up. Obviously, those guys are probably going to end up making more than Derek Carr. That's just the way it works. As the years go by, the next quarterback comes along, that needs a new contract that's in that class, and they're going to get a bit more than the one before them.
Howard Balzer joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at HBalzer721, and, of course, read him at BalzerFootball.com. The NFL Network, they came up with their top 100 players. We're going to go from number 10 up to number 1. Number 10 was Matt Ryan. Number 9, Le'Veon Bell. Number 8, Odell Beckham Jr. Number 7, Ezekiel Elliott. Number 6 is Aaron Rodgers. Number 5, Khalil Mack. Number 4, Antonio Brown. Number 3, Julio Jones. Number 2, Von Miller. And number 1, the ageless wonder, the one, Tom Brady. Is it crazy that Tom Brady is still the best player of the NFL, or are they just saying that because he's won 5 Super Bowls and, you know, coming off the latest victory?
Yeah, I think it's that. But, you know, certainly you could arguably say that he is. And it's obviously a discussion where there is no right answer, because that group of 10 guys obviously are tremendous, you know, and tremendous, tremendous players. You know, I think you make an argument that maybe on the face of it, in terms of pure talent and what he can do, you know, Aaron Rodgers might be a better passer than Tom Brady, but they haven't won, and then they haven't, you know, had that good enough team to do the things that, you know, they would like to accomplish. But, you know, it's interesting too when you look at that list of 10, and I think you named 2 defensive players.
Yeah, Von Miller, you know, and Khalil Mack. Yeah,
yeah, most likely, you know, J.J. Watt would have been in there had he not been hurt most of last season. I would argue, I think that, you know, Aaron Donald, I don't know what number he came in at, but you could certainly make a case for him being top 10. But, you know, this is just opinion of a bunch of players. I read somewhere, I think there were a little over 900 players that voted. And let's remember, too, the way they do it, the guys who vote, they don't list 100 guys. They're each asked to vote for 20 in order. And then, of course, they just add up the points, and they come up with the top 100. And so a lot of times those guys that are 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever, they probably didn't get too many votes when the top 20 is being voted on. So, but that's a pretty impressive group of players there. And I think wasn't Dak Prescott 14th?
Dak Prescott is number 14, and Aaron Donald clocked at number 15.
At number what?
At number 15.
15 or 50?
15. 1-5.
Oh, 15, okay. Yeah. I couldn't believe it would be 5-0. And, you know, in Prescott, you know, 1 year, and it, you know, it's also what they did last year, too. That's obviously a big part of it, because certainly with Elliott and Prescott, they have 1 year on their belt, and that's what, you know, a lot of the players are looking at in terms of voting on the best player, as opposed to what they've done throughout their entire career.
We have a text coming in from Four Finger Guy. He wants to know, how far do you think the Missouri Chiefs will make it in the playoffs this year?
Well, you know, so much. A lot depends on matchups, obviously. You know, they're always a team that's competitive when they get there, and I think the key, obvious with them always, is their offense. You know, they have lost some guys on defense, and so, or at least there's question marks, I should say, with guys on defense about, you know, if can Derek Johnson come back? Not sure that's going to happen. Justin Houston, he says he's healthy with his knees, but who knows when they start playing games. They did lose Dontari Poe on that defensive line, but it's a well put together team. The thing about them is they just always seem to be missing that one ingredient to get to that next step. And whether that's Alex Smith playing bigger, whether it's the receivers doing a better job, and now they won't have Jeremy Maclin, whether it's getting more out of their running game, just seems to, whatever it is, they're just a little bit short when it comes to the postseason. So I think they're certainly capable of winning a game. I don't know that unless everything goes perfect, I don't know that they have enough to, you know, and obviously a lot depends. Can they beat out Oakland in the division again and potentially get that week off or playing the first week? And all that enters into it. You know, they had the bye last year, and it didn't really help them all that much.
I just have questions about their offense. I don't think their offense is going to be as good.
Well, and that's the big question. They're expecting an awful lot from Tyreek Hill to even go do more than he did last year in his dual role. They're actually saying that he might not return kicks as much because they want him to do more on offense. And I'm not sure that that's a great idea. And so, but like I said, I think the running game, when they had Jamaal Charles, they were just a better football team. And so there's been a lot of positive talk about Spencer Ware this offseason, and that there's some who think he might be primed to take another, you know, a big step. But you certainly can't bank on that. You know, if he does, then who knows? Maybe that changes the complexion of that team. But right now, I think there's probably just too many of those little questions that say that they're a little short of some of those other teams that are a little bit better.
Ed Roylick's Goiter is texting in as well, saying he despises these top 100 NFL rankings, trying to rank OL and DT with QBs, etc., as asinine. It's just program filler for NFL Network. Bring back old NFL film highlight shows instead. Howard, I know you'd be down with that.
Well, you know, they do a lot of that anyway. I mean, there's no question he's right that it's a filler, because, you know, there is a time of the year when there's certainly not a lot going on.
Yeah, we're a month away from training camp.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But you know, by the way, how many weeks did you say it was?
About a month.
Yeah, it's about a month. And, you know, 5 weeks from Thursday, believe it or not, is the Hall of Fame game in Canton between the Cowboys and the Cardinals. But it is filler. There's no doubt about it. But look at the program guide for the other stuff that's on. You know, they're doing the top 10 shows, and then they run the Football Life, you know, a lot of times one right after the other. It would be kind of cool, though. I like that thought, though, to bring back some of the real old-time NFL film stuff and maybe some of the highlight shows and the older films and all that. That would be kind of cool. Maybe have a nostalgia week there, you know, sometime and play a lot more of those that, you know, are just sitting there in the vault, perhaps gathering dust.
Howard, if my back is killing me from having to carry Rocchio through this entire segment, where can I go to ease the pain?
Well, you know, it's funny you said that, because, you know, each week I'm sitting there going, and once in a while he pipes up, and I'm always thinking, Rock, where are you? How come you're not asking me anything? I mean, my goodness gracious, sometimes I think that you don't like me anymore.
Rocchio was actually in the production studio, so he didn't even hear me slamming him.
Okay, well, that explains it. So, yeah, but anything with your back or any other part of your body as well, like I had mentioned a few weeks ago, I tweaked the calf muscle, and they did some great stuff with it. You know, I went in a total of three times 1 week, twice another, so six times, and did a great job with easing me through that and taking away the discomfort and the pain and telling me what to do and doing the laser technology, which they have, and a whole bunch of, you know, of other things. And so all that and more, they have so many different things for people there. Deep muscle massage, my wife goes for them at least once a week, and it really does wonders with her back and her hip and some of the other things that bother her. So the phone number, of course, 314-567-7300, located conveniently right off page extension at Schutz Road, right near Schutz Road in Maryland Heights, just, you know, just a stone's throw from Lindbergh Boulevard. So very conveniently located. Great stuff in their office. And, of course, the 590 special. You got a little tweaks, a little pain going on. Go in and check it out. Maybe a little stiff neck that's not going away. You wonder what's going on. Well, they'll check it out. And if you want a full evaluation, it's only $59, normally $97, just for mentioning 590. So check it out, Metro Chiropractic and Nutritional Wellness. And, of course, the Nutritional Wellness part, you know, if you want to talk to Dr. Robbie, ask him, because I'll tell you, nutrition and diet also can be something that, you know, exacerbates inflammation and those other things. And he'll give advice on good diet, what to eat, all those things. And they have supplements there that are all natural that can help with a lot of different things. So, again, it's Metro Chiropractic and Nutritional Wellness, 314-567-7300.
Ed Roylick's Goiter is texting back in again, saying this week in pro football, NFL game of the week, NFL team season highlights, etc., the 60s and 70s ruled. So he's not a fan of this creating content just for the sake of creating content.
I can't argue with that. I absolutely cannot.
Howard, thank you for your time as always, sir. Enjoy. We're not going to be with you next week because we'll be off for the 4th. So
right.
Enjoy your 4th of July, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks when we get a little bit closer to that Hall of Fame game and a little bit closer to the start of training camp.
All right, man. Sounds good. Always enjoy coming on with you.
Thanks, Howard. That is Howard Balzer from BalzerFootball.com and the Hall of Fame show on the NFL channel on SiriusXM. You can follow him on Twitter at HBalzer721. We'll say a commercial break. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Wait a minute.